Before we get too far into this, thank you to the folks at Racetech, racetech.com. Tell them you listen to Pulp. Get your suspension work done. Get your motor work done. Show your bike some love. It'll show you back. And you can get a discount with the Pulp code. So thanks, Racetech, racetech.com. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to Fly Racing RacerX Podcast, Denver Review. We got JT, we got Weej, and then, some guy named Justin Brayton. He said he did pretty well at Daytona or something, joining us on the show. Looking forward to talking about Denver and more. Thank you to Fly Racing, 25 years of Fly. Justin Brayton's been a Fly guy for forever. And RJ Hampshire, Max Anstey, many of those guys wearing Fly. Chance Hymus as well, too. So flyracing.com. Check out that Formula S helmet. It's great. Helmet with a brain, and you look at their kinetic gear, you look at their kinetic mesh is going to be coming out soon, Evo stuff, it's all top quality. I wore Fly Racing to defeat Chris Kiefer on his 1990 YZ125. So check out Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Thank you to those guys. And Renthal, renthal.com, factory Kawasaki, factory Honda, Red Bull, KTM, using Renthal products, chains, sprockets, all of it. Great mountain bike parts as well. So Renthal.com, you know the name, you know the quality. If you're listening to this and you've ridden a race for any length of time, then you probably know Renthal and all that they can do for you. So thank you to the guys at Renthal over there in the UK for coming on board the show. And check out their website. Super informative. Also, Maxxis Tires, great mountain bike tires, of course. They lead the market in mountain bike tires. And also light truck tires and trailer tires that got you covered there. UTV tires, they're great in. But this is a dirt bike podcast, and they make a lot of great dirt bike tires. Freddie Norn, Kay Clayson, Mitchell Harrison putting Maxxis tires into main events. And Maxxis.com for more information. They got soft, intermediate hard terrain tires. Needed those this weekend in Denver. And Maxxis is doing big things. Thank you to the guys at Maxxis for coming on the show. Motorsport.com will tell you more about later. But this is the Fly Racing RacerX Podcast, Denver Review. So let's get right into it, shall we? All right. Thanks for listening. And here we go. All right, everybody, let's get into this thing, the Denver Supercross Fly Racing RacerX Review Show. And first up, the gentleman is here in studio for the Pulp MX Show tomorrow night. So we grabbed him for this review show. Race day live all year long. And, of course, so many great accomplishments in Supercross. It's Justin Brayton. What's up, JB?
What's happening? Thanks for having me on this. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Well, we figure we're going to put you to work, right? We might even do re-raceables here. So, yeah, it's...
I'm here. Let's do it. Let's do it all.
And, of course, also on the line, Fly Racing, Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not much. I was nervous. I know how these things go when we have a guest appearance. I very often lose my spot in that scenario. And this time, Weej. Weej was the odd man out, and it was not me. But it was of his own accord. So I don't even know if it's a W. It's just kind of like a... What happens in hockey when nobody wins? What do they call that?
No, they don't do that anymore, but you used to call it tie.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I didn't know what the term was, but yes. They used to just be like, hey, we're good. We're done here. Right. On to the next thing. That's what I feel like.
And for the record, Weej may join us later in the show. And for the record, I said, hey, JT's ready now, but let's wait for Weej. And then JB was like, yeah, we got to wait for Weej. So,
no, you said you were going to totally have Weej out. I said, no, we need Weej, at least for some of it.
Yeah, I'm used to it. It's fine. I know my role.
They stick together.
Yeah. And, but I'm going to take the partial win wherever I can.
And JB watched the Weej Creed video.
It was great. God. It was great.
It is not.
I liked it.
It is not. Don't encourage him. Like, we reward good behavior, and you discipline poor behavior. And this was one of his worst moments.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Denver race this weekend. We were back. We talked about Tomac maybe pulling off a surprise win. One year later and all that didn't happen. We had an epic 250 race and a 450 race. So I'll start with the guest, Justin Brayton. Did you think Jet was going to let Hunter win, but he had to go because of Anderson? Or did Jet just say, I don't care, Hunter, I'm winning?
I felt like it was right in the middle. At one point, I thought exactly that. I was thinking, if Jet just sits right there and Jason doesn't really catch him, he might just sit right behind Hunter. But then I'm thinking, well, you just never know at the final round, right? So you want to get as many points as you can on Cooper. So him, I'm sure he knew where Cooper was. You can look up at the kind of the Jumbotron mm-hmm. thing in the middle of the track. So I don't really know. I would love to ask him because, look, we know how hard these races are to win, and I know Hunter will win some probably sooner than later, but yeah, for his brother to get a win, I mean, Jet had 7 wins going into the weekend, so I really don't know. That's a tough question to answer, but yeah, he made the pass. And then, well, I was really impressed with Hunter. He lost the toe a little bit, but then he was able to kind of gather it back up mm-hmm. and catch Jet again and finish pretty close behind him.
What'd you think, JT?
Yeah, I kind of echo that sentiment. But in the end, I think you can't tempt fate like that. You just cannot do it. I know it would have been, such a great story, and Hunter was riding well enough to deserve the win. But I think if you're Jet, if you can win it and you can pass him, you just go. Like, you cannot open the door like that. Because no, like, man, what if, right? What if he had a mechanical failure on the first lap next weekend and that was the difference? Like, you just cannot do something like that as much as you want to. I think he probably wanted Hunter to win that race. You just can't. The other side of that coin, though, is look how many times this has gone this way, and guys like Tim Ferry and those guys would be like, that was my chance. Like, that was my one chance at getting a win, and I didn't capture it, and I never got the chance again. I don't think that's going to be the case for Hunter, but you just never know. So there's a lot of push-pull there, but I think the way it went the way it's supposed to go. You know, if Jet had some more speed, which he did, he made the move, and I felt like he could if he needed to. I think that's the way you have to go with it.
I felt like Anderson was coming.
Yep.
And Jet's like, sorry, big bro. I did feel – look, the way the track was, you couldn't push that hard. You'd end up on the ground. It was a little sketchy, and I'll talk about that. I have some thoughts on that later. But so I felt Jet was just sort of riding in second, and I was like, he's giving us the Hunter. He's giving us the Hunter. Like, I really
felt
that.
I thought that he was going to kind of wait it out a bit and mm-hmm. probably pass him later. But Anderson forced the issue, yeah. right? Like, Anderson yeah. changed the dynamic of, okay, I'm going to wait and wait and wait. And I thought he would probably get him late because I thought Hunter was kind of sprinting and Jet was just chilling, which yeah. we've seen him do time and time again. But I think it just proved a little bit of what Jet had when he needed it, because as soon as Anderson showed up, Jet was like, okay, I got to change all this. Like,
yeah.
I can't sit here anymore, yeah. We always wonder that, like, where is Jet's ceiling on a particular evening? And I think we got a little glimpse of it, because as soon as he needed to change the dynamic of the way that race was going, he was immediately able to. And that's not normal. Like, most people can't. You know, you're usually sitting on the limit. Like, this is all I have. And it was pretty obvious that he had a lot more when he needed it.
I also think there's a little bit of a speed limit to that track.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the dirt-wise. Yeah. So I think it set up great for Hunter to have that speed. Like, the speed difference wasn't as much as it had been in the past, right? And that right. favored Hunter. But, yeah, I do think Anderson forced it a little bit. But at one point, I think I even said it to the live crowd there. I'm like, if you're Jet, do you just sit there? Do you just let your brother win and you gain those points? But
I think you do.
If the title was wrapped, he would have.
Okay. For sure, if the title was wrapped, I think so. Yeah. But
100% would have.
To JT's point, those 3 points, you just never know. He's 20 up right now, but still, you
yeah.
like, what if, man? Yeah. What if something crazy happens in Salt Lake and he needed those 3 points?
Yeah.
It would not be a good look.
So Hunter got a podium earlier this year, but a lot of help with the red flags and everything else that was going on, right? A lot of help with there. Went 7-7-7 the last three races. Actually, he's got 4 sevens in the last 5 races. But then this week, you know, obviously that was a well-earned ride. Getting better, right? Rough start to the season, getting better. I don't know if I'm a – JT, you said, like, he will get one. I don't know if I'm there because you just never know.
Like, ever?
Yeah, like, you just
– Oh, I think you will for okay. sure because I think there's a scenario where Jet lays up again, like, down the road somewhere. If that scenario plays out again and mm-hmm. we're not in this sort of precarious position, Jet would have laid up. And I think Hunter's trajectory is strong enough – over time, I do think he's getting one. There's no guarantee. There is no guarantee, but yeah. I do think he gets one. I mean, remember, this is his first year. You know, yeah. like this is the first, like 15 races into his 450 career, he was damn close. You know, and I thought Justin made a great point. I was very, very impressed by Hunter's ability to regain his composure, increase his pace, and not only pull away from Anderson, but close the gap back to his brother. Like those things are not normal, right? It's very subtle in the moment. But that is so incredibly hard to do is once you kind of lose it to find it again and get a little bit better and close back down, you know, because Anderson was pushing, like Anderson was going for it. He sensed an opportunity and then Hunter was able to like kind of swallow all of that and get back to his best pace.
So eighth in the points, one race missed with injury, one race didn't make it. I don't count that third so much. There was a lot of, you know, penalties in that one, but this second and this 11 laps, I think no matter how he does in Salt Lake, successful season, JB?
I 100% yep. think so. And I want to rewind a little bit to what JT's point was a second ago and what we talked about with AP, you know, last year in Detroit. Man, was that his one that he could have got? Is this ever going to happen? I thought that just for a split second yesterday. But I really think I'm high on Hunter. I really think he's going to have a really successful career. Mm-hmm. I think he might even be 450 champ one time. Like,
whoa!
I really okay. do. I think he's
I'm
a multiple race winner. I do. I just think his belief system. And if you look at his 250 career, it's taken him a little bit, right?
Yep.
One, you know, first year kind of struggle a little bit. Second year get better. It's just mm-hmm. taken him longer to get that belief. But I really think the team he's on. Obviously, his brother gets to ride with him all the time. I just think it takes him longer than what it takes Jet to get to the highest level. Look, he's not as good as Jet.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a scenario later on down the road, maybe not next year, but the year after, where he's right in the title fight. He's a multiple race winner. I just think he has everything working for him. And his belief, that's the biggest thing even for me in my career. Like, I didn't have that belief system to go out and get multiple wins, right? Mm-hmm. Hunter absolutely has that. He has all the pedigree to go get that. So
he's a little low-key cocky. We've made some jokes about that over the years.
I think you have to have that.
Yeah.
I think you do.
Yeah, I'm not saying in a bad
race,
way. Yeah,
every race winner has that mm-hmm. ego or kind of low-key cockiness to him. But then to your next point is he's ticked all the boxes of a rookie. He did rough start. Obviously, he crashed in that first turn in Anaheim 1. Then he started building his season back up. Got a couple top fives. Gets hurt at Daytona. Comes back. Now he's won a couple heat races. He's qualified fastest. Yep. Now he's got this podium. Like I just like the trajectory of his season. And he's a rookie.
So
man.
Let me ask you this. If you think he's can win a title and win multiple races, does he have to leave Honda and be the number one guy somewhere else to do that? Money-wise, salary-wise, ego-wise, all of that.
I don't know, because Honda was willing to sign Chase this year.
I guess. Sure.
So can they do it side by side? I think that's the best scenario for them. I think they bring the best out in each other.
I agree.
I think the team is supportive of them. I love Hunter's interview on the podium. He gave the team so much credit because they're working so hard behind the scenes. He hasn't given them the results that he thinks they deserve. Obviously, Jet has, but I like everything about Hunter. I think he's got a great mm-hmm. story. And, you know, I was at the test track when he was first learning Supercross at the Honda test track. And you didn't know what way it was going to go, to be honest. He wasn't that great at Supercross. Right. So to see that and now to see where he's at, it's so impressive.
Yeah. No, listen, they led 11 laps. And, maybe at a different race, he takes the win, right? So news finally came out. We knew something was bugging Coop last little while. I was told 2 weeks ago, he's dealing with an injury that gives him arm pump. And I'm like, okay. So I was thinking core, groin, something where he can't hold on. And then he has to hold on with his arms. That's why I was kind of like doing the math a little bit. And then this weekend it came out with UCL in the thumb, which JT, I thought UCL was in your elbow, but Brayton and I Googled it. There was a UCL in your thumb. So
I thought it was like a sanctioning body in cycling.
I think that's UCI. Yeah.
yeah. No, this is a little frustrating for me, and not that I deserve any information, but I heard about this so long ago, and there were people chasing this. I remember texting people at St. Louis going, hey, I think there's something with Webb's hand, thumb, wrist. There's something there. I don't know what the story is. I keep hearing it like whispers here and there, right? And I'm like, no one would tell me anything, but I kept hearing things, and I'm like, something's going on. So I texted people that would know. They literally asked him, and he's like, yeah, it was a thing, but it's not now. I'm okay. I'm still hearing things. And then, yes, clearly it was getting worse, and then he said that he tore it. I don't know if you got to see the interview I did with him after the race, but he said that he tore it worse last week, and that's why it was so bad this weekend. So it's just the way our sport is. You never know what's going on with people. We didn't know Tomac's ankle was hurt until weeks after. We didn't know Webb was really hurt until now. But I guess from my perspective, it was just like, damn, I knew there was something. Like, there had been smoke there for so long, and then we finally found out where the fire was.
So yeah, not the same guy. I don't think we see him outdoors now. What do you guys think?
I would think probably not, depending on the severity of it.
Yeah, in that interview, he's basically like, yeah, I'm going to come back sometime. I think he like caught himself from saying what his plans were, but yeah, it didn't seem very promising. I have no idea. It wouldn't shock me to see him at like SMX or something. You know what I mean? Like, that wouldn't shock me, but I don't know what his plans are at all. So I didn't even know he was hurt until this weekend, and I was really trying to find out. So don't ask me, I guess.
Yeah, like I thought it was, like I said, they told me this gave some arm pump, so I went with groin or knee or leg or, you know, something that you can't hold onto the bike with, and now you're using your arms. But, I mean, look, he got a fifth. You know, good job, but he's not the same guy. So 20 points for Jet now going into the last one.
Well, it seems like it's gotten worse, right? And that's what he was alluding to, because he's won races with it. Like, you know, I talked to him a few weeks ago on the phone, and he told me he was dealing with a wrist or hand, some sort of injury. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was the week before Foxburn, he goes and qualifies fastest, wins the race.
Yeah.
So, right, but right. I think it's just gotten progressively worse. And I don't know if he mentioned to you, JT, but it seems like maybe the last week or so. I actually think he said it in your interview. Didn't he say this week it got worse?
Yeah. He said he tore it, and then he tore it worse.
I don't know
what that means, or just it's partial tear, and now it's full tear. I don't know. But he definitely said it was much worse this weekend than it had been.
I fully believe he wants to do 4 for the outdoors, but it just keeps working out where he's not doing 4 for the outdoors, you know, which is not a strength of his. But we'll see.
I mean, I'm guessing, you know, that needs to be surgically repaired.
I would think.
What I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So the trouble is, if you don't do it now, it can really affect 2025, and that can't happen, right? So unfortunately, right now, well, after this coming weekend, which is crazy to sound like you're going to sacrifice an entire championship, but it might be the best time, big picture, to get it done.
Team-wise, you're fine with that, right?
Yeah,
you've got Eli now for the summer. And
just
Tomac guy committed?
If you're Yamaha, you hate to lose a guy for an entire pro motocross championship. It's just, what are the alternatives? There aren't really any good alternatives outside of that. What, are you going to race a few injured and then get it done? That's not a win, right? So you get it done now, and hopefully you're back for the 3 SMX races, then you have a full, healthy off season again.
Yeah, the first time you come up short on something and stretch it back, you're back to square one and like whatever.
And then you're like, you're pissed that you wasted the time of not getting it done 100% healthy.
Jason Anderson, third, like we mentioned, rode well. Also not a surprise, hard pack track, and he's better in these last two. And guess what, everyone? He's going to be good at Salt Lake. We're all there, right? We're all in agreement.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
So, third place for Jason. That's two podiums in a row for him. So that's a good job on that.
He could win. He could win Salt Lake. Very, very much could. I'm not saying he's going to, but a world where Jet is just kind of cruising, just don't DNF scenario, and you know, like, he's clearly one of the best couple of guys right now. So we don't know what Hunter's going to do. Tomac hasn't looked great. He's dealing with an injury. Webb's hurt. It wouldn't shock me at all to see Anderson win.
I really think the two favorites right now would be, well, I think Chase, which we'll get to Chase, but Hunter and Jason. I mean, that race in particular, JT, you've had races in your career where that week after you have that great race, you're just chomping at the bit to get to the next race because you have so much confidence. You're just ready to go. I think that's where Hunter's at. Like, he truly believes he can go win now, and he beat Jason straight up. So if they're in a battle for the win or it's down the stretch, like, Hunter now believes he can beat him. Like, yeah. Got to have a lot of confidence.
I think Hunter's got to get the start. I don't know that Hunter can come from fifth or sixth to win, but if he gets a start like that again, all bets are off. Like, he could absolutely get it done.
I would have said Tomac for the win, for the podium this weekend, and for the win or podium in Salt Lake, but I'm not sure anymore.
I was with you.
Something's up with his wrist, so I don't know if you guys heard any like specific details, but yeah, he's got a wrist thing now too.
Okay. Well, did you hear? So Chase Cook, who was on Race Day Live with us, he said he was trackside during one of the practices. I think it was either the first free practice or Q1. He said Tomac came up way short, like something with freeze.
Free practice.
And he faced the triple?
I wouldn't say face, but he went 2.5.
Oh, he landed right on the – I mean, they show it on the broadcast. Like.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I don't think he heard it there. I think he heard it when he crashed in the corner is what I was told. But you can see him when he gets up, he immediately like is kind of motioning something with his wrist. So I don't know. It's all very subtle, and we probably won't get real details, being honest. Like, we know how this goes. But, yeah, it doesn't look great for him to be his best, you know, this coming weekend either. Yeah.
Did he have a brace on? Somebody say they had a wrist brace on?
I didn't see that. I didn't notice.
That's what...
Bam got fourth. Ah, who knew?
Way better.
Yeah.
Way better.
Yeah.
We've seen flashes of this, right? He had been like, what did he go, like 5-6-4 the last three?
Yep.
So he said in an interview somewhere, and I'm sorry I can't recall exactly where he said it, but a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago, maybe he went to California, they did a bunch of testing, and I guess it's been a lot better since then.
Yeah.
So I don't know what change was they came across. He was very reluctant, I could tell in his interview, to talk about what they had done, but clearly where they got to is much better.
Yeah, he rode a quiet race. I didn't notice him too much, but good job. Yeah, to get that fourth. Coop fifth, like we talked about. Justin Cooper, sixth. Yeah. Invisible guy a little bit.
He's had a good rookie season. Yeah. I think it's been, you know, pretty quiet. That sixth, seventh, eighth range is always pretty quiet. Yeah. But, yeah, I think he's got great speed, you know. Him and Hunter have kind of been the same.
Yep.
And now I think, you know, Hunter's
so
maybe
someone
a bit
told
better.
Me. It might have been Kellen or Lewis or one of those guys. They're like, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins a moto outdoors. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm there. Are you guys there? I mean, we've seen him have great outdoor speed, but
he's fast. I mean, he's got a ton of speed right now. He hasn't really had his typical great starts, but maybe is that a motocross thing?
I don't know.
The good starts? Yeah. Could that be a motocross thing?
I think he could win a moto. The problem is, and stop me if you've heard this before, that Jet races motocross. That's the problem. But as far as like him moving into the 450 class, I think he can. I'm going to need Jet to make a mistake, get a bad start, have an issue, because I don't know that anybody beats Jet if he doesn't. That's really the issue more than like, if you're telling me he beats Tomac, he beats Sexton, he beats Hunt, and I'm in on that. I think he can do that because of his starting prowess, the way he races from the front. He is so adept at racing from the front. There's this Jet guy that doesn't seem to matter who's out front or how fast they're going. He has an answer for it. So, I kind of agree with Kellen that he could win a moto. But again, tall ask.
He's been, like you said, kind of like with Hunter, but Hunter's had those flashes now that where Cooper hasn't, right? I think Cooper led some laps, one of the Triple Crowns, maybe. I don't know. Malcolm Stewart, seventh, qualified second.
There was some fever there.
There was in the heat race, too. There was some fever in the heat race, and then he hit Sexton.
Corner, there was some fever, I could tell you that.
Yeah, and then that's it. Sexton and Malcolm's race completely screwed.
Did you see that corner, though, the last lap?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He was Mach 4, and then I don't know if his tire, like if there was 2 millimeters of rubber touching the ground, that's not really going to work.
Was he trying to pass Cooper there?
I don't know. He reminded me of Fro at that Australian MXDN photo. Yeah, that's what he reminded me of.
I think he was trying to pass Justin Cooper.
Yeah. Did you see it or no, JV?
I didn't see that,
He hit the left turn where Thrasher hit RJ going across the start. I don't know, fourth gear pinned?
As fast as he could go.
In a rut? Like it was like one of those slot cars.
Yeah, he was doing that in practice too.
As fast as you could send it.
And then came out and was sideways and lost the front.
Guys were doing that all day. That turn, there was so much. Like it led you to create so much lean angle because the rut was amazing. But as soon as the rut ended, it was like ice.
Oh, yeah.
The guys were crashing all day in that turn.
But
you had to like pop out of it to get back or vertical or horizontal, however the angle would be. But like, and he didn't, right? He like never got the pop back upright.
No.
And he just like exited sideways and just like slid. Like I was like, oh yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But dude, again, so Sexton's not been fastest in any sessions this year. He was on the board on top for a long time.
He was less than a tenth off the Q1 this past weekend.
that fucking Australian kid.
Yep.
And then, but it's still a good night, still riding well. And then he's down in the second turn. First turn.
Yep.
And he's got to just be like, fuck my life. And then he gets up and maybe outside shot of a podium, incredible ride, and goes down again. I mean, what's the frustration level right now?
I was sitting in front of him on my flight to, I flew to LA this morning and he was sitting right behind me. And I was so badly, if it hadn't been like 5 a.m., I want to turn around and say, hey man, like, is this qualifying thing like a thing for you? Cause it's a thing for me. Like every time you go out, I'm watching to see if you're going to qualify fastest in any session. And you're so damn close, like down to a 10th and just like, he's not toying with you, but it seems that way because he's just like grabs it at the last second. Like, are you about ready to snap over this? Because I don't think he would be like, nah, it's whatever. But he has to be so frustrated with that.
And I mean, he lost the front. We all know the front problems. His crash after I don't know what he's got to be at. He's got to be just absolutely losing his mind. Now, I was trying to find him after the race, but it was Leafs Bruins game 7. I kind of had to go.
Yeah, how hard were you really trying?
Not that hard, but I did. Because Chase is cool with the media. He will speak and he will be honest. And so I went by, I did a little drive-by, and then left. But I did want to talk to him, you know, because.
That game didn't pan out so well for you, though, huh?
Probably should have just waited for Chase. Yeah, thanks, JB.
I think he's somewhat okay, though, because. Lately, the speed has came around.
Yeah, can you do that? Can you say that?
I do think so because, and I watched your race, the race on Friday, the LCQ Challenge race with Chase, and we were kind of talking in between the practices and stuff, and he didn't touch his bike last week. He felt really good in Philadelphia.
Yep.
I think if you watch him the beginning part of the season, his, like, when he goes through a rhythm lane, he creates so much forward momentum, and his angles and the jumps are incredible, and he's up over the front, and he, like, puts so much pressure into the motorcycle, which creates forward momentum for him. When he's done that to start the season, it looks to me like he didn't know what the bike was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But now, fast forward to just the past couple of weeks, that has came back, and his body language is like, his attitude on the motorcycle, to me, looks like last year. So I think he's got to be stoked with that. He's been so close to qualifying fastest. He was the fastest in the Philadelphia main event. So I think there's things late in this season that he can really grab. But on paper, it still hasn't been that great. So I don't know. It's like it's 50-50 for me on he's got to be somewhat happy with the way he's riding. They're figuring out the motorcycle. He's learning the team each and every week. But JT, to your point, like you're just waiting for him to qualify fastest at least once. He's got a couple more chances in Salt Lake, but he has not got it done yet.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, I think he would probably play it off. It just always fascinates me when something is your calling card, which last year it was, you know, qualifying speed. We all knew he was going to qualify fastest before he did it. And everybody, you know, like that was his thing. And I think he liked that.
He was Jet this year. He was that last year. Literally at the end, he would just, Chase.
Yep.
It's just funny how it changes. And then, because I've seen it with other riders too, like, when it's not your thing anymore, you're just like, it's no big deal.
It's so true.
But you cared last year. Like, yeah. You definitely cared last year. But it's just, like, that's just part of racing. Like, Steve always says how, you know, delicate these guys' psyches are. And that's just a part of that. You know, like, it's like, it only matters until it doesn't. If it's not your thing anymore, then who cares?
Then you just move on, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, okay, so you think he's all right mentally. I'm going more with, like, he's ready to hang himself. But,
I think he's good, too.
Yeah, I think he's okay.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, the thing for me is, you can only judge it. Is it getting better or worse? And I would
it's
say
getting better. Yeah, yeah.
The riding is getting better, right? So you just hang your hat on that. That's all you do is you just lean into the fact that things are like, are we trending in the right direction or no? And they are. It's clear that they are. So you just find comfort in that.
Do you guys notice the body language and stuff though? Just the way he's riding, like it seems more aggressive and more confident.
I just see confidence. Yeah. I see him being more aggressive and not, riding conservatively. Like he's waiting for the motorcycle to do something he's not expecting.
Yeah.
Now he may be still making mistakes, but I think he's in a place where he's like, okay, well the bike's going to do X and I'm going to ride like it's going to do X and then it does X. Like that's to your point. Yeah. It's kind of what he's doing and that's how he's fast. He cannot go the speeds he went in 2023 without that variable. Like it just will not happen.
So is there anything though, and we'll talk outdoors, but is there anything giving you guys hope that he's got something for Jet outdoors?
No.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, I mean, it's good.
It's Jet. Improving. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
He was better last year. And he couldn't do it. So the only thing I would say there is Jet has to be perfect. He was like literally almost perfect last year. You know, like that's to me, the thing is Chase going to go out and just straight up beat Jet. That's a really tall order, but Jet can make mistakes. He could crash in the first turn. He could, lots of things can happen, tip over, which I guess he did at High Point, but I don't see a reason to say why Sexton's going to go out and meet Jeff this summer. Yeah. I don't see that.
Don't you think it's really important, and I don't want to fast forward too much, but for Pro Motocross, it's so important for somebody to beat Jet right away. Because if he starts to click off 6 wins, wins, now he sees that perfect, season again. If he can smell that a little bit, I don't know if anybody has a shot. But if somebody beats him at Moto 2 of Paula and it's like, oh, well, then I'll just win a bunch of overalls. So that motivation level isn't quite as high to win every single time on the track.
In my opinion, the only riders that have a chance of beating him at Paula are Tomac and Sexton. That's it. Like no one else is touching him at that racetrack. That track is so unique and so hard to go fast at. Those two can do it, but everybody else has literally no chance. They better get their poop in a group, I guess.
What about the scenario that we just seen this past weekend? Hunter's winning a moto and it's late in the, and Jet doesn't have a perfect season. Is he just, and it's first moto, right? So he could still go 2-1 or something like that. Does he really try to pass Hunter? Or does he kind of just say, now this one?
Like at the opening round?
No. I'm saying just like at some point in the season.
Oh yeah. Like, well, I think it's all situational.
Yeah.
Just like it was this weekend. If Jet had been 27 points up sitting in second place, probably lets him do it.
You know,
and that could certainly happen again.
Just starts weaving all over to block Anderson.
I think Supercross is so different though. You know, like in that scenario was until Anderson came up and pressed the issue, they could kind of sort it out together out there. Right. And as chaotic as it is at the front, they're thinking pretty clearly. So they're trying to assess the situation. Jet's, trying to think about the points. He also is trying to think about Hunter winning. Also, Hunter, I asked him on the podium, like, where were you at on this championship thing? Like, were you thinking about, like, I can't take these points away from Jet? And he kind of hinted towards, I need to make sure that I'm not a spoiler in this scenario. And if Jet's sitting on my rear wheel, I think he's like, I want to win, but I can't take those points from him either. You know, like, what if that was the difference? And so there were a lot of things at play. And anytime it comes down the line like that again, it'll be situational again. But I kind of think Hunter will probably end up winning on his own accord. He won't need Jet's help to win down the road at some point.
All right. Dylan Ferrandis, ninth, had to go through the LCQ and came from like maybe eighth in the LCQ. Like had to really get on it to do that. Ninth place for Dylan.
He rode really well in that LCQ, by the way.
Yeah.
Patient. Didn't rush anything, methodical passes. It was a good ride.
Yeah. It's always like a factory guy in the LCQ. You got pulled together.
Yeah.
it's a lot.
That's a stressful situation.
Yeah, you've been there, I'm sure.
A couple times.
Toronto or no?
That was when one Jacksonville, when me and RV came together first turn, neither one of us qualified.
Yep.
And then I was in one in 2020, I believe. And I started like fourth. It was St. Louis actually. Factory Honda, my bike broke in the heat race.
Yeah.
So they had to do a full engine swap, and started way outside, started like sixth, came to pass Cade for the lead. And like, I remember, I think I was on the show shortly after. I'm like, it's like a bunch of landmines out there. Like, I was just swerving around to try and get around people. And then Cade's like trying to race me super hard, which I rode with him all the time at Club of Maxima. Cade, what are you doing? He's like, I got an LCQ bonus for this. I wanted to win. I'm like, yeah, it was wild.
Dylan ninth, Eli 10th. Yeah, he just never really got it going. Like, even obviously, you know, even before the fall.
He was ripping at the beginning.
Ripping?
Eli?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He got into third and was going for it, and then he fell. He had passed into third and was trying to chase those guys down.
I thought they were gapping.
No, early on he was on it.
I thought they gapped.
Yeah, he was going for it.
Yeah. Once he got into third, I was thinking, ooh, we might have something here.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Then he fell again. Right?
Yeah, it was a terrible race after the first fall.
Then he fell again, I think.
I didn't see the second fall, but he was definitely far back. Because him and Sexton were kind of battle, and then all of a sudden, I looked up and Chase had like a straightaway lead on him.
Chase had, and Mookie had gotten him too. And
they
both got him. Yeah.
Yep.
Dean up to 11th. That 10, 11 spot for Dean that's his house right there. Oldenburg 12th. He had to go to the LCQ. I had him in fantasy, so I was very excited for him. And then Dylan left him alone also. So Nichols 13. Nichols had to go to the LCQ. Freddie was good. Freddie rode really well. Aggressive. And
what do you get in the main?
14th.
Yeah, that's 14, solid.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah. Adam, 15th. Didn't really notice him much.
His ankle's pretty bad, huh?
What?
His ankle?
Yeah, I think it's...
Oh, man, that picture on social was like, ugh.
Not great. Vince, 16th. Hill was 17th. I had him in fantasy, and he was in 11th or 12th. Justin was. And then dropped back. So I don't know if I fell or whatever. McElwath, 18. Cade, 19. Cade rode well in the heat. I have him in fantasy, so I watched this stuff. He came from like 12th to 9th, and there was a big old battle going on with Freddie, Cade. Oldenburg was coming up. Welton was up there. They pushed Welton aside. So it was a good race in the heat for Cade to do that. Hand, 20th. Jerry, 21st. Mitchell Harrison, 22nd. I.e., all the LCQ guys, Yamaha LCQ racers. Hand, Robin, Harrison.
Hand's impressive. I've been
really?
Yeah. I don't know.
You're a closet hand guy?
I think so. I watch him ride. I'm like, he's good. He's a good ride. Like that last chance qualifier, watched him. And
you know what he is?
Chiz was coming on him the last, you know, the couple laps. And I'm like, oh, here he comes. You know, here he comes. And the hand like totally was good. Like solid. He needed two really, really good laps.
Yeah.
And
you know what he is? He'll dog you. I think he's in shape.
Yeah, seems like it. I'm impressed with him.
He'll hang on behind your rear wheel for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then Chiz, that's two in a row that Chiz has not chizzed.
Not made it, yeah.
I don't know. I was having a discussion before the night show with Chiz. I went over to HEP and had some Chipotle and sat down with Gary, legend, and then Chiz.
Absolutely.
And we got into like flipping houses and house rentals. And Chiz was very passionate. He was banging on the table at one point. and like maybe he used all his energy up.
Banging on the maybe table. That
was he was banging on the table being like talking about your equity and then you get another loan and you buy another house and you get that the equity and you take it out and you loan. And Chiz had it all down. And
you wore him out.
I think so. I think so. He was very passionate. So, just odd to see Chiz not Chiz two races in a row.
And not good starts, right? That's where he's not made it in. Both of those last chance qualifiers due to his starts. He's way back.
Yeah.
Typically, he's been a great starter.
I don't want to live in a world where Chiz is just not making mains. I don't want to live in that world. JT, that was JT's world his last year.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
It's a bad world.
Yeah. So he got pulled together, you know? All right, that's 450 class for Denver.
There's always like some sort of show on A&E, HGTV, some sort of show like that.
Flipper, house flipping.
He and Britt Chiz will be flipping houses with their kids there, and it'll be a whole thing.
How many kids they got now?
I don't know, man. Seven?
Yeah. But, all right. I don't think I mentioned Colt Nichols. He had to go to the LCQ too, I believe. He rode all right. Benny got hurt this week. Sucks for Benny. Absolutely crushing it on the beta, and he got hurt.
He's been riding so good.
Yep. So we missed Benny, Roxanne, AP. We'll miss them as also at Salt Lake too as well. So these privateer guys are loving it. What'd you guys think of the Yamaha LCQ race? JT, you helped out with the podium. What'd you think? What was the format?
The format was good.
Yeah.
It would have been incredibly boring, like as far as overall results and everything, I think without the invert second moto, because I literally had no clue who was in any position overall. not first to fifth.
Yeah.
If you said any name, I'd have been like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I had no idea.
JB, surprised that Hill got from 21st to 10th in 5 minutes?
No, not really.
Okay.
Not really, but I echo JT a little bit. The first one, I do love the format, but I think the first one has to be tweaked a little bit. For some reason, it ends up being a little bit boring.
I think it's the track.
Could have been the track a little bit. But the second one was great. It was so entertaining. It was like first, second, third. We're kind of doing their own thing out front. But that middle fourth to 12th or fourth to 14th was like unbelievable. It was so fun to watch.
And guys would go wide to clear jumps. And then inside, you know, it was just like a train to the inside of everything. So,
my
buddy Josh Hill taking the home the win.
That's your guy.
That's my guy. He did come on the live show with us. He was good on the live show.
I thought he was really cool. He gave you a lot of props and really thanked you for that. And he was great. He was a great interview. And, it was cool to see him get it done. Yep. Harrison had it.
Yeah.
He made an aggressive pass on Hill. Did you see that, JT? After the triple, he went inside and kind of went into Hill, passed him right away, and then obviously went down. Yep. So.
Yeah. I think that format works. Now, Tony Alessi, also a race promoter, told me that need to drop, so after the first main, kick 10 guys out or whatever number out, and then just make it a race of
that's not bad
12 or whatever number you want. I don't know. You know? What do you think of that? Is that all right?
What about, JT, you probably did this, but remember in Paris and in some races in Europe where you'd start with 22, then the bottom four drop out? You do like a four-lap race, bottom four drop out.
Yep.
Another three or four laps or something, bottom four, and then you go down to the four guys, the last finals, just four guys. Yeah. And
okay, but hold on.
It's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time, yeah.
And I feel like these privateers, they don't have that. These guys are not like, you know, God bless them, but they're not exactly.
What about two lappers?
Okay, maybe.
The gate, two laps.
Maybe.
Bottom four get dropped out.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it was fun to do. And need to figure out. I'm glad. Thanks to Harv and Feld for letting me do this. Harvey Whipple was a big help organizing this thing. And we got the timing and scoring going. And Verb guys did a lot. Thank you to the Verb guys for all that they did.
I'm really glad that the broadcast powers that be lean into this thing. Like that you got a ton of, like, from Race Day Live to the actual NBC broadcast. Like, it was everywhere. So I'm glad that they acknowledge it, because it is it's a really cool thing. And they could just... they could be like, yeah, it's a Friday sideshow thing. They could totally blow it off, you know, and like not acknowledge it at all. But that's not how it was at all.
No, Lee texted me, RC texted me. Like, they all thought it was pretty cool. It was good to see it on the broadcast.
Yeah, you're getting, like, your name shouted out, your company shouted out, like the race highlights, like all that. It's great.
I know. And, you know, first of all, my guy Dan Hubbard, he must have thrown in 50 mentions. My guy Hubbard loved that race, and I got to thank him for that. Yeah. It was all over the place. Like, we're in the press box, and we can kind of hear you guys, but not really. And, like, Kellen and Lewis are just like, what is, like, it's Mathis, it's Pulp Mag, LCQ Chow. I mean, it's.
Well, what happens is, you know, we start the show typically with sometimes 250A or 450A, depending on who's going first. But, like, this week you start with 250A.
Yeah.
Then you go 450A. Then you give a 450 B and C. And in the B and C groups, a lot of those, that's where they are. That's those guys. That's your guys. So, you know, we're talking about Tristan Lane and we're talking about Rodriguez, these guys that were in the mix in that race. So he's throwing out your race the whole time. But our producer, Sam, she's like, damn, we're doing a recap later on in the show. But it was like, it's so inviting to talk about guys that were, you know, in that last chance qualifier race that were in 450 group B or C.
It was good. We're going to have over 100 grand to give those guys. And talk about Josh Hill. We had him on the live show, and I knew he had some jacked up injuries from the backflip that went wrong. And then he kind of got into that a little bit. And, dude, kind of crazy. Like, his feet and the way he shifts, and he has to wear Tech 7s, and he, you know.
He can't feel his left foot.
Can't feel his foot.
Yeah, that'd be so difficult. You're shifting foot. Can't even feel when you're shifting.
Yeah.
I meant to ask him, like, why did he do the triple the second time? His wheel was like a square. Like, His rear wheel was like a damn square.
What are you talking about?
When he got hurt, the second time he went for it is when he got hurt really bad.
It was a backflip.
Yes.
You said triple. You said triple.
Oh, I meant backflip.
Oh, okay.
His rear wheel was like a damn taco square.
Oh, for real? Oh.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Oh, I did years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, but like the second you're like, no, don't flip. No. And he goes for it again. You're like, oh, no. Like, yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. So, it was great to have everybody do that and work it out. And thanks to everybody for the help. And for the people who are listening that bought raffle tickets, we're doing the draw tomorrow night on the show. So for the 450 and everything else. But, it went well.
Did we get to the bottom of the youngest winner? He mentioned he was the youngest 450 winner.
Not.
Is that?
He's not.
Because when Marty, JT mentioned Bradshaw.
Yeah, and Marty Tripes is actually the youngest winner.
Okay.
But it was in 73 or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you want to count that, but technically Marty Tripes is the youngest winner.
But it is impressive. He's 18 years old.
Yeah.
Wins a 450 Supercross.
Yeah, you kind of. On the live show, you're like, well, what, how old was Bradshaw? And I'm like, oh, no, we're going to get it. Just when Hill and I are mending fences, I got to tell him Bradshaw was younger.
Yeah. But wasn't that Tokyo when, because Bradshaw was like 16 when he won Tokyo, right?
Yeah, 16 or 17 at Tokyo. Yeah.
But do you count that one?
No.
Can't count that,
it's
right?
It's off season. Yeah. Right? So, all right, let's bring our guy Weej in. He's ready to join the show.
Yes.
All right, now we got Jason Weig on the line. What's up, Weej? How are you, buddy?
Yeah, JT, JB, I feel like we've really upgraded the show.
Okay.
No disrespect to JT, but JB's unbelievable and amazing and awesome. No disrespect, though.
It's like when you start some.
Yeah.
With all due respect.
Yeah.
With all due respect.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw Sean Brennan this week, and I said in the press box, I said, listen, I don't want to complain here. But
I'm going to complain.
Oh, God.
And everybody laughed, and I started complaining. So.
Weej, just so you know, we were going to do this, and Mathis said, well, Weej probably isn't going to make it. I said, well, I'm not going upstairs into your studio then. Weej has got to make it at some point. That was my ultimatum, and here you are.
Yeah.
Held strong. I appreciate it. Yep.
Weej, any thoughts on the 450 class from Denver and the Yamaha LCQ race? We recap
well, the
that.
Actually, I would like to ask you about the Yamaha Pulp MX, or is it the Pulp MX Yamaha? What is the proper order of this LCQ?
Again,
race?
We run a loose program. Yamaha LCQ Pulp MX Challenge, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was Yamaha Pulp MX LCQ. That's the way it's written.
Sure. Yamaha seems to know.
Pulp MX
Look,
LCQ
man.
Challenge.
Sure. Yeah. Whatever my guy Hubbard said, that's what it is.
Okay. Well, Hubbard was all.
Oh,
JB knows.
Oh, Hubbard
was all over it.
Oh, no. We just talked about that. I love my guy Dan. He loved it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huge. The second moto, first of all, shout out to the Verb guys. You want to talk loose program. I mean, even looser than Pulp. The coverage was solid. But I want to say, your goal of chaos, I enjoy how unfiltered you were about how unhappy you were about dudes just cruising to a sixth and seventh last year.
Yeah.
Do you feel you got the chaos you wanted in the second race?
Not as much, but better. Better, yes. I need another format next year. I need a shark pit, fire. I need a loop de loop. You know, I need something else. But it was better. Yes, I felt like JB said, there was a lot going on in the middle of that race with Welton, Hill, Harrison, Henry Miller was stuffing the shit out of dudes. So there was some chaos. Yeah.
Oh, that's what I was hoping. Yeah, because watching, again, Verb did it the best they could. But they did a good job of covering Hill coming through and not just following A-Rod out front. But still, I was like, there's probably more chaos than I'm not seeing. So my question is this. We go to the 450 main event. Webb, now we heard he's got an injured thumb, which apparently he's had since Birmingham. Did anyone know this?
No.
Do you guys even know this right now?
I was asking people. I was like texting people that would know. Like, hey, I keep hearing this hand thing with Rev. And they're like, yeah, I literally asked him, and he said it's not a thing. I'm like, all right, okay. Like, I kept hearing it. There was a lot of behind the scenes like murmur about it.
So I sent Aaron Hansel, Steve, you got to hang on in the press box, I'm sure, all weekend. I sent him to the pits after the race. I'm like, dude, forget the scrum. The scrum these days. For the press is six privateers, AC and McElrath. That's pretty much that's the scrum. Pretty much at this point. Steve?
Dirt Bike Depot on the other coast.
Oh, okay.
Dirt Bike Depot,
AC and McElrath,
and Dirt Bike Depot and Freddie.
Phil.
And okay, Phil, and club guys, because Bonacci makes club.
Yes, yes, Jacques or Phil, depending on what coast. So I said, Hansel, don't worry about that. Don't worry about Dirt Bike Depot. Go find Coker and ask what's up with these guys. So it turns out that both Webb and Tomac hurt their thumbs, separate incidents. Mm-hmm. They weren't thumb wrestling. And credit to Hansel, he said, why did no one reveal this? This happened at Birmingham. I guess it happened when Webb ran into Jet in that heat. It's all I can think of.
Yep, okay. It did. That's what right. Coker confirmed that, yep.
Right. So Hansel asked to me, he's like, why only reveal this now? And Coker's like, for the racer standpoint, you just try to pretend it's not a thing. The less you talk about it, the less you think it's a problem. But at this point, it was getting out of hand where, you know, too many people were talking about it, and he's taking his hand off the bars at times, and it's just time to just come clean. My point of all this, Steve, is, okay, oh, Webb's coming through traffic early in the main, Battle of Barsha. Tomac's in third, stalking the Lawrence brothers. Webb goes backwards, Tomac crashes. You know what might have made that main event a little bit more exciting?
Mm.
What could Mike Newey and Dave Prater, the powers that be at Monster Energy Supercross, have seen? A different format that might have changed their minds and be like, okay, we could get Tomac back in this.
Yeah.
What could they have done?
They absolutely. Stagger stardom. Bring it. I told
any talk of this?
No, but when originally Mewey didn't want to do this, he didn't like it. He wanted me to just have a race, and I kind of pushed back a little bit, like, no, I want to try this. And they made it work. I wanted it longer. And again, thank you to Mewey, Prater. They do a good job. But yeah. They were not in favor of this. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, let's try it. Let's try something different. And I said, you'll get a chance to see it live. See what you think, yeah. You know? Not that I expect Supercross to anywhere to do this, but at least it's an idea. I mean,
I don't think inverting the field will ever happen, but okay. What I think could happen is bring everybody back together.
Yeah.
Whatever lap it is or whatever. Stagger stardom like you did, not invert, but yeah. You just bring everybody back bring together, back. Like a caution in NASCAR.
Yeah, yeah. Which JT or Brayton and Weed, you guys are NASCAR guys. Apparently, NASCAR sometimes just throws out cautions.
They used to a lot.
Okay, not yes. So much anymore, but like
not
yeah,
not so much anymore.
Like
but yes,
people be like, oh, look at this, a caution for some debris on the track.
Yes, with four to go or something. Yes,
yes, yeah. Yes. So yeah. This is a thing, right? But yeah,
I could totally see us. You know, JT and I are on the TV show, Steve, and JB's on the Race Day Live. You're not involved with any of these broadcast things, but I could totally see us. We go to commercial, and we're like, and when we come back, they're tightening it back up. What's going to happen?
Wow. That'd be great.
I'd really be excited. Hey.
You, we got to move on here, but I could drop something for our listeners to absolutely shut down your last point, Weege, about me not being involved. Okay, I'm going to save it, though. I'm going to put it in my back pocket.
Oh,
I'm going to put it. Okay. You know what it is.
I'm that gonna, you got to run your own race on Friday?
No.
Oh.
No. Just something I've been asked about. I'm going to put that in my back pocket and pull it out down the road a few weeks, maybe.
Oh. And, okay. No, you, I don't know what it is.
Yes, you do.
I can just see a world where we're going to commercial break and teasing.
Okay.
Jet Lawrence had a 4-second lead.
Yeah.
But now Chase Sexton is going to be right on his rear wheel. You better stay with us.
I don't think after the this. Factories ever let that happen. They want this to be a real race. But at the end of the day, Feld is trying to entertain people and sell tickets.
Never thought Triple Crowns would happen.
Good point.
Here we are. Three of them.
We did 20 laps for 40 years.
Yep.
playoff races now at the end of the year.
Yeah. No, listen, we are entertainment for sure. And look, if we re-rack them, stagger start, our Jason Thomas here on the line, he might come out of retirement. You know?
Oh, that is where he did his best work.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have made it in 2012. I would have been eligible, but I don't think
okay. Otherwise.
I think this is an argument you and I are still arguing about is whether I can get in. Like the Chiz argument and, you know, Cade.
Yeah.
Like I think I'm bitching at you in text message every day.
Like yeah. If you could still qualify? Or what do you say?
No, I'm saying if I was still racing, I wouldn't be eligible, but I would be complaining to Steve about that I should be in the race and he wouldn't let me.
Oh,
in the race.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No, you'd be one of those guys for sure. So, all right. That is the 450 class and the LCQ wrap up here. Jason Wygant, Justin Brayton, Jason Thomas, Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Again, Renthal and Maxxis, I talked about off the top. Motorsport.com, great online ordering place, whether it's Fly Racing, whether it's Renthal, whether it's Maxxis. Go through the banner on pulpmex.com to help us out. And free shipping and everything over $79. Great prices. If you got a secret street bike like Jason Thomas does, they got parts for that. They got UTV, e-bike stuff. And JB and I went e-biking this afternoon. It was fantastic. Thank you to motorsport.com. Weege at Onyx Maps as well.
Yeah, Onyx Maps has really revamped the app and the website. They got much more specific. They were already more specific than other map apps to what type of trails you could ride, but they've become even more specific, the type of terrain, the level of difficulty. I think it's like a 1 through 7 scale now. And this is Onyx Maps will give you a single track trails for your dirt bike or a mountain bike or adventure bikes or Jeeps, 4x4s, side-by-sides, whatever you want, hiking, hunting, they've got it. So go to onxmaps.com or Onyx Offroad in the App Store. And the code RACERX, all lowercase, all one word, and we'll give you a discount.
All right. Before we get to 250s, can I talk about the track? Like, look, JB, JT, you guys raced. It's... I don't know what's going on. I like the Dirtworks guys. They're good dudes. I don't know if it's a design.
Is this it, with all due respect, coming?
With all due respect. I don't know if it's the dirt or lack of it.
Dirt. No, this was the dirt.
But is it the lack of dirt?
I don't think so. I think it was just hard, and they added sand to it to try to add texture.
But
also a lack of horsepower, so the guys can't really jump much.
But like, I'm even
too many guys were casing everything.
Yeah, but hold on. I know what you're saying. You're right. I'm going more. Just hear me out here. Design, dirt. You know, we got the 9 whoops. But like last week in Philly and this week in Denver, just flat turn after the whoops.
Yeah, I don't like the flat turns.
We can't put a berm.
Sure, gnarly though. Like I was happy to see really tough whoops because I think they played a big role in the race.
Sure.
Those were freaking brutal.
But like,
but yeah, the flat turns suck. I'm with you. I'm 100% on board with the flat turns.
So why aren't someone? That's a conscious decision. Do we not have dirt for the berm?
I don't know.
What?
I'm with you though.
Yeah.
So I'm normally not with you, but I'm with you on this.
These track designs have been mediocre for most of the year. We've lost the 9 whoops. I don't agree with the 9 whoops and dragon backs, but listen, that's an argument that I see both sides of. I don't think any side is right. I would prefer more whoops and tougher, whatever. But like even the designs, just 3 and 5 footers and a couple of tables and flat turns and let's call it a day. Dude, the amount of guys. And so look, privateer guys, I get it. Privateers bitch about a lot of things that they probably shouldn't have. None of those guys are just telling me that this is the worst track, you know, and I hear from factory guys too. I don't know what we got to do. These things are not good, JB.
Well, there's two things. Well, a few things that come to mind for me. 90 degree turns before a whoop section should be banned. Like 90 degree turns before and after whoop section should be banned.
Yeah.
In my opinion, like you just can't do anything with it. You pretty much go inside. This weekend it played out a little bit because how hard the whoops were. So you could go wide, but then you couldn't really set anybody up because you'd go way left just to set up for that flat turn. That was a right hander. So when I see that, even on a track map, I'm like, oh no, 90 degree turn before or after whoops. I'm like, oh, it's not going to be very good. And then, yeah, flat turn, obviously not great. But the overall track, I do agree with JT that the surface was tough.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, there's like a speed limit to that track. But there was so many 90-degree turns on it.
Yeah, why so many 90s?
I don't know.
What?
I really don't know. I don't know if that creates a longer lap time because if you got 180s and long lanes, then maybe it's a shorter overall lap time. I'm not
Alex
sure.
Alex and the dirt jerks know that guys don't like 90s. I mean, I'm sure... Everyone tells them this, and yet we keep seeing them. But yeah, maybe it's like, hey, man, if we didn't do 90s, it's a 42-second track.
That's the only thing
we can't keep
think
up
of.
With it.
Because there's 1, 2. I think there were 6 of them, 6 90-degree turns.
It seems like if they follow the outside of the stadium, like if the lanes go around the outside, you just get those 90s all the way around.
Yeah.
That seems to be one of the dynamics. It needs to like kind of loop over itself and go back and forth within those lanes to create, to have the 180s that, you know, that's where the passing. So I'm not a track designer, but
yeah, but JT, they know this. They know this.
I know.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. They're experts at this. Right?
Yes.
So
I heard Sexton was irate about this track and was going on it. Yeah. Going off on them in practice. Yeah.
I like that rhythm lane. Like JT said, the guys were coming up short. I like to see that. I thought that was good. That was more of a power thing, but
yeah, the far one.
Still,
yeah,
like I like to see guys struggling with stuff because typically, I mean, even just a couple of years ago when I was racing, I'd walk the track, I'd do every jump, everything, lap two of practice, and we're already throwing down lap times.
Yep.
That's a bummer. You want guys to try and figure it out. And that section in particular, that long rhythm lane, there has been a couple rhythms this year that guys have. There's been a couple different options, or they're trying new things. So I do think they're open-minded. I don't know. You know, do you change the spacing? Do you change the size? The nine whoop thing, now we're, you know, the thing that I don't really love about that is, so nine whoops and the spacing is identical every time? Yeah. I actually talked to some of the Dirtworks guys this week, and I'm like, what about instead of 13 feet or what they're, or maybe 14 or whatever, why not do 11 one week and do a couple more whoops, or you do space them out 15 to where guys are, then you're jumping. But, you know, if they're a little bit closer together, jumping's almost not even an option. If they're 10 feet or 11 feet real close together, you could skim. And so I don't know, but I'm sure they're trying the best that they can.
Like,
but
I'm not saying this isn't like they're like, ha, 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 we don't care. They care. They want a better track. But, man, we're just not seeing it. So is it truckloads of dirt we need more of, and it's expensive, and they're cutting on that, you know?
Like, is that what is that? But
okay, I don't know, man. But some of these tracks have been so lame. I don't know. All right,
if that dirt was a premium and they couldn't get more of it, then we may need to relook at the
right
the sourcing plan.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I would like to know, do they go in? We had data apparently that created this nine whoop no dragon back thing, right?
Yep.
That was based
It was
based on Phil getting hurt at the gnarly whoops in Oakland, yes. But I think we need to have a chart of these are where passes are made. I was talking to Stu about this last weekend, and he's like, man, we had that rhythm lane that had the kink in it because of the way the stadium was shaped in Philadelphia. And he's like, man, why do they do that? I'm like, well, the theory is always that you need the long rhythm lane for a guy to inch up, and then get there by the next turn. And then he kind of laughed, and he's like, well, that's what they say, but no one ever makes a pass like that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's a good point. I don't know if I've ever seen that actually happen. Like, somebody did a 3-3-3 faster than the other guy, did a 3-3-3 to get next to the guy by the next 90 to make the pass. I'm like, you're right. It actually never materializes. What's funny is, like, a 180 flat turn by a finish line jump, there's more passing in a section like that than there is anywhere else on the track. So is anyone keeping track of, like, RJ Hampshire said it in the press conference like three times. Like, it did not matter how fast I went to the whoops. There was no way I could pass anybody because of the turn after the whoops. There was nothing. I could go three times faster
in the whoops. To your point, I was very surprised they didn't put a little berm, like, on the outside that you could pivot from. Because if you did, the whoops would allow you to, like, really send it, right? Like, if you really wanted to go for it, like JB style, like just on the top.
Yeah, and that's what RJ wanted to do. Yeah.
Right, but there was no upside to it because you would just go deep in the turn and then you're screwed. So I don't know what the reason they didn't build it out there for, but I think it could have, depending on how far they put it out there.
I think it would have had to be too far because the first turn, right, JT? It would have been way too far out there because the first turn.
Yeah, I just think if you put it on the far left, like where it's maybe not in the way, I don't know. I'd have to look at it really closely. But it definitely deterred from any possible passing, like on the left, right? If you committed on the outside of the turn and then you blitz down the left side, yeah, great job. You're going really fast. What are you going
to
do with it?
Yeah. I don't want to just complain, but honestly, I talk to these riders, and so maybe it's getting into my psychosis or something because I just hear these riders, dude, and they're just – factory guys and privateers. I mean, these guys are just destroying these tracks. So,
hey, JT and JB, let me ask you this, both of you guys who raced a lot of these races. If they had sections where they were like, yep, every week you're going to land the finish line jump and there's going to be a 180 onto the flat start straight. You can go inside or outside or vice versa, like what we had in Birmingham where you went down the start straight and into a 180 to finish. If they just said every week for the rest of Supercross history, we will have that exact section. I know it's going to be the same every week. but that is always going to be a section where you can get underneath someone or square them up. Would you guys be like, this is boring? Or would you guys be like, just put that in the track every week?
Nah, I need to change it.
So you don't want the same. If we find like the magic section, you'd rather be like, nope.
No, because it wouldn't be magic anymore. I think we'd figure it out so much that it ends up not being magic. What I love is the variety, but I think we've gotten into almost like sort of spec racing where everything is so specifically built. The sizing is exactly the same. The shape is almost very similar each and every week. And then they also go build the test tracks to that exact same thing, that exact. So then you set up this bike that you don't change the whole season, where I would love for him to throw it. I don't know. Change the 3-footer to a 4-footer and a 5-footer to an 8-foot. I don't know.
Why do we just do 3 and 5s and we just put these together in some sort of Excite Bike track design thing?
Yeah.
Like, why not? Why not go 3, 4, 6? Three jumps in a row.
What's the finish line, Joe? Yeah. What is the finish line? 7 feet?
I don't know.
And no, and no more triples. Let's get
like 9.
Let's get rid of triples.
So we've proven we can build 9-footers. They can build 9-footers.
Mm-hmm.
Why not build 9-footers?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. Why are triples 67 feet on 125 2-strokes and they're 67 feet on 450 4-strokes?
You're asking a very obvious question. It's because that's what works. Like, that's what is perceived to work. And I know you guys are disagreeing with that, but I'm saying perception is this is what creates a good product. So that's what we're going to continue. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying I think that's
Well, but JT, don't you remember doing track walk and you're like, oh, wow, these whoops are really close together this week. Okay, I'm going to speed up my rebound because, you know, it needs to be a little faster. Oh, wow, the next week, man, these whoops are super far apart. Dang, might have to jump through these or, man, I'm going to have to really.
JT said,
you know what I mean? But there was so much variety, right? There was so much variety to just that one little section of whoops. I don't care about the 8, 9, 10, whatever whoops, but let's change the sizing of them.
I feel like
through the space.
I hate the nine whoops. Yeah,
I am too. But I see, like I said earlier, I see their side, and let's play it out and let's see how it goes. I get it, whatever. I can see the side of the argument, but like the imagination.
Yeah, I don't have to like it. Yeah. I understand the logic. I just don't like it.
The imagination to me just has gone out the window. I don't know, but I'm not a track builder. I don't know, but all right. Let's move on to 250s, shall we? Brayton, I'll start with you. Who do you like for this championship?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Who's winning this championship? Because this is great.
Wow, it's going to be amazing.
Can I go first?
No. 250, sir. Yeah.
I got Vial.
Oh, okay.
I think Vial.
Okay, all right, great. Vial's going to win. Right. Assholes. Weege, who do you like for this championship?
Can you wait till the first turn next week, and then I can answer that question?
You're right.
Whoever gets to start next week?
This is going to be nuts. It's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome,
Yep. Hey, JT, Joe Shimoda was thought of as a championship favorite coming in. Didn't quite perform earlier in the year. And then, and then this week, kind of when he's out of the championship, I mean, he led wire to wire.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, really, really catching fire late in the championship here. Stop me if you've heard this before.
2025, he should be the favorite, right?
Cause, he should come in hot.
Yeah.
Should come in hot. Bike sorted, team sorted, everything sorted, ready to rip.
The Shimoda realist just sat back, lit a cigarette, put his feet up. It just, I mean, this is what he does.
Can we call out the Shimoda realist predicted this at 9 a.m. Saturday?
Did he really? On a group text.
He did. He said, looks like it's going to be Shimoda's night. It's the perfect time. And he was right.
Yeah. It's the Shimoda realist is – he's
two he's, hole shots?
Yeah. Okay, JT.
Two hole shots.
Can you please just give me my flowers here?
Yeah, I can't believe it. I cannot believe
please.
That he got two hole shots. I can't believe it. I didn't even want to return the text back because I was so mortified.
You called it?
At his hole shots.
We bet online. They have a hole shot bet now. And I know from Lars that they worked on the bike on the starts, and it was better in Nashville. He came out third or something. So I know they tested and they worked on it. And we did a fantasy podcast, and Jet was plus 6,000. And I said, hey, they've been working on his starts.
Shimoda,
sorry.
You said Jet.
Yeah, Shimoda plus 6,000. Throw some nuggies on his maybe a whole shot. And Brayton, I was laughed out of the podcast. Laughed out of the podcast. And I'm like, well, in the showdown,
it wasn't plus 6,000.
What was it?
By the way,
1,600? No, 3,000.
I think it was like plus 350.
Okay, I don't know.
Or plus 600.
Is 600. It wasn't 6,000. Plus 600.
I would have bet.
Okay, it's plus 600.
You give me 60 to 1. I'm betting it.
And Brayton, I was laughed off of the podcast, and my Twitter followers made sure that JT and the realist, everybody knew, just because. I thought late in the year, the realist has a point, and I know they worked on his bike, and I know we got a good start of the showdown. There we go.
Did you bet on him?
I did not.
Oh.
I did not. But
Paul offered to take your money. He offered to give you
did.
The same odds.
He did. You're right.
It was plus 600,
yep.
And you said no.
But, Weej, Joe Shimoda.
Yeah, Joe Shimoda. He said, look, Shimoda, he's gotten much better with his English, but not – where he's going to give you in-depth answers. So I straight up asked him in the press conference, and I'm like, have you or the bike gotten better, or you just need to start? And honestly, he answered it about 3 times and just said, I just got a whole shot for once. That's basically all he's pointing mm-hmm. to. They didn't really change the bike a ton.
Yeah.
He hasn't changed the thing a ton. The difference seen now and the beginning of the year is he got a whole shot.
Yep.
That's what he says.
I would like to dispute that, but okay. You know?
He was sticking with it. Well, actually, the best part, I don't know if any of you three got to watch the press conference. There was a reporter from Japan asking a question in the press conference of Joe, and Joe could not understand her question, which is just spectacular. It was great.
That's great.
I only watched the press conference via the Weed Show.
Yeah, I only covered Lawrence Brothers because that's what we do.
That's all I got.
That's all we do. Yeah.
I won't go on the Weed Channel YouTube because that Creed video's on there. And I don't want.
Did you play that before the LCQ race? That's what I heard. Did you play that?
No, I did not play that video.
Your version?
Did you play my version? I offered it up. Hell no.
Can we talk about how Feld let me play Creed, My Sacrifice, while the riders were picking their gates?
Oh, God.
It's just like.
Unbelievable.
It's like next year I'm going to be like, could I get an elephant in a tutu?
Like make a wish. This is like make a wish.
Honestly, I had goosebumps when they were playing My Sacrifice and Grant
really did.
And Grant Harlan was picking his gate.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So also, by the way, I really wanted another 2 minutes of this 250 main because the three guys were almost in the same corner. That would have been awesome.
Kitchen said it's like that's a 20-minute race. I don't know what happens.
I know. Look, RJ, Kitchen, Shimoda, they rode great. JB, JT, you've already mentioned this in this podcast, could only go so fast on that track, and those guys found it. Can we talk about Thrasher on Hampshire?
RJ was pissed. He was so pissed.
Yeah, no, he told all of us in the scrum over and over and over.
And no beef. They had no previous beef to that.
He had no idea why he did that. No clue. I don't know what, but he's not happy with Thrasher. I don't know when you guys watch the interview back on TV, you're going to see it.
Yeah.
He doesn't say his name, but he pulls up hard from saying it. He was not.
So,
and off camera, he was clearly not thrilled.
I asked Levi, are you and Thrasher buddies? Do you think he was doing this to help you? And Levi's like, I mean, we're friends, but I told him to go, go kill RJ. But there is this unspoken thing, and JB, I'm sure there's our buddy Phil's been doing it since round one, but there's an unspoken thing like, hey, look, you're going for the title.
Yeah.
With another guy. I'm not going to,
No, you can't tee him up.
Yeah. But, yeah. And nobody passed really at all on that turn.
No.
And his angle coming into the turn was I'm here for it. I'm ready to do something. See, that wasn't cool
intentions.
In my opinion.
He went in there with bad intentions.
Yes, he did.
Star Yamaha. Affecting championships any way they can. I don't know.
Unless Nate just thought he had so much speed, he wins the heat race and maybe he's like, I can go up there and win the race. But I don't know. That was aggressive. A little too aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah. It was aggressive. Jordan Smith was up there, guys, and then crashed.
No.
So I think the Jordan to Triumph thing is done, by the way. I think he's going for 2 years over at Triumph.
He's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to be just fine.
Yep.
That's all I have to
And then,
for.
Guys, I heard Max Anstey going to star.
I think he's going to be all right.
Okay. And then
I'm pretty sure that's fair and, enough to report as well.
And then I heard Pierce Brown to star.
Oh, really?
He's going to be okay, too.
Yeah.
He's going to be okay. And then just as okay.
Here's one that I got that I didn't believe. I had to check with someone. Marchbanks back to pro circuit.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I did not hear that. Wow.
I didn't see that one coming.
JB, no. Do you think it's did you?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, that didn't end well.
It
right?
didn't.
Did not end well, but he was a Cowie guy for a long time,
Cowie
a pro circuit
there,
guy,
right?
But
yeah. He's like, eh, we might need to recoup this investment.
So
they sent him down and to college. They said, so just at least go for 4 years, get some seasoning.
And it's not like Mitch doesn't have a lot of guys and a lot of great guys. So
Faulkner's up, but I assume he goes back.
You would think.
Right.
Are you sure on this Marchbanks thing? Or are you playing coy that you don't know or maybe do know? Because I have not heard that at all.
Well, first of all, coy would have told me I'm an idiot.
He would have. Yes.
But
probably right.
He would ask for my journalism degree, and then he would have called me an idiot. R.I.P. our buddy Coy. No, yes, JT. No, I think it's a thing. So, yeah.
So who's that club?
Phil's
coming back.
Who's not on star?
Yeah. Enzo back to club. Can we get Enzo back to club?
Enzo is getting another shot, apparently, at star. I would assume Styles Robertson, who I keep forgetting about, and he's a nice dude, and I keep completely forgetting that Styles is on star. I assume he's out. I assume Romano's out.
And Smith.
And Jordan Smith.
I concur with those things you said.
Okay.
So they go to club.
They go to club.
They go to club.
Club's got shock. 3-year deal.
They do. Steve.
Yeah.
It almost seems like the guys that showed speed but weren't able to put it together to win titles this year in the 250 class were actually rewarded with new deals in the 250 class.
Weej, this is for tomorrow night. This
seems like what it turned out to be.
This is for tomorrow night. Let's park this because I got something to say, and we got to go on this one. But
we're McAdoo, Hanmaker, Smith, Pierce.
What
didn't work out? And here's your
what
report.
Kind of sport? Let me just. What kind of sport can be taken seriously when getting hurt is the best thing for your career?
Save it for tomorrow night.
Okay. All right. Okay. Jordan 5th, Phil 6th. I went and saw Phil after practice. Kellen and I did after practice. I'm garbage. I'm quitting right now. These guys are wasting their time. I don't know why I'm here. And then he said falling in the first turn in the heat was the best thing to happen to him.
Oh.
Because it fired him up.
Ever?
Well, just for this night.
Okay.
Because it fired him up. And he got in, like, honestly, he fell in the first turn. I'm like, ooh, maybe LCQ. I'm not kidding you. Two laps in, he was 10th or 12th. And I'm like, holy shit. Look at Phil. He was good in the whoops. And then he got that 6th in the main. Was it a distant 6th? Yes, but as he says on his Instagram post, shit's the same on paper.
100% it is.
6th
is a 6th.
That's right.
So, our guy, Phil.
I texted him in our group text, good job. You remember what he texted back?
No.
He said, the F word, I'm slow, is just like exclamation point.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, just take the compliment, though. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. You did good.
The rumor is, I'll let you guys know this because you're big TV people. The rumor is our guy is getting a spot in the press conference this Friday.
No way.
Yep. Yep.
Well, JT and I will be the host of that, but we
are hosting it. I haven't heard literally anything.
Well,
so.
Just
the year I retired, I had a spot, and then Chris Blos as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Chad Reed. Did it with Chad Reed too?
What?
So all the legends.
Oh yeah. So Phil will get his chance to say farewell to Supercross.
Well, we were warned in the Pulpomets press release to show him some love. He's very gruff on the outside, but very emotional
I did see.
Oh,
the
Club MX press release. You said Pulp MX.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
We're literally in a group text with Phil. Phil saying how miserable he is, how much he hates even having to go to this race. And then I get a press release saying he's very emotional about the Supercross career coming to an end. At the same time, he's saying how badly he doesn't want to get on the plane and go race. It's just incredible.
Show him some love.
I can't take those things. Like, if you saw my facial expression when I received those,
we saw you in a group text also.
Yeah. Well, not for long. Not for long, you did.
Jason Thomas has left the chat.
So, Phil, sixth is six. Good job, Phil.
Solid.
Yep.
See him back next year.
He's ninth in the points. He is sixth.
Dude, his bike broke at Anaheim 1. Where would he be if not for, like, a couple of stupid bike things?
What is he? Hold on.
Imagine if his bike didn't break, he jumped that one quad, and he threed out of that one turn where he could be right now. Top five.
Okay, so
the title.
He's 9 points back aboard Dawn for seventh. Is that what we watch? Or eighth in the points. Is that what we watch this weekend?
It's going to be good.
I mean, is that better than the Kitchen RJ thing?
It is. Bordeaux versus Phil for seventh.
Eighth overall.
Okay.
All right. Phil sixth. Cole Thompson seventh. Cole caught Phil. And then Phil was like, Nah.
Is that where the motivation came from right
there?
He's like,
he's not getting by me. Yep. Robbie Wageman, eighth. That was Robbie's first top 10 of the year. Rode well. Talon Hawkins, ninth. Bomer went down early, 10th. And Ryder D was dead last early. I don't think of Ryder D's season.
Can we talk about Ryder D's heat race where he's leading?
Oh,
and in the same turn.
Three times.
Yeah,
the exact same turn, he went wide.
My dad would punch me in the face if that happened to me in a local Manitoba
like,
race.
I wanted to say something about, like, Dartfish helping, but I was like, you don't need Dartfish. You just need eyeballs.
Yeah, good point, JB. That was rough.
One time, okay. Dude. Second time, dang. But the third time, I was like, okay. We got to change something there.
I blame Will Hahn.
Yeah. I didn't think about that, but you're right. Yep.
Lux Turner was good all day long. JT, did you pick him in fantasy?
I did not.
Yeah, he was good all day in qualifying and everything. And then he got 12th in the main. Lux Turner. Varese, 13th. He crashes a lot. Jerron Stapleton, 15th, I should say. He's an Aussie kid. I gave him the last spot in the LCQ race, and the gentleman brought me a Starbucks card. For getting him in.
Making the 114
so
proud.
Sure.
Yeah. Making the 114 proud.
Yep.
Yeah, good point,
sure.
JB. Yeah. Sure. You know, we were told by an industry insider, we heard this story, that the industry insider, when you were 114, that you weren't going to do nothing.
Who was that insider? I've heard this story.
Yeah.
Who was the insider?
I will not be naming names.
Perhaps when we hit the stop button, I will tell you.
Okay.
But we were told by a reliable source that this person said, I think after your moto win.
Okay.
Was that when it was, Weege?
No, it might have been 250 class days.
Oh, was it 250 days? Okay.
I think it might have been, yeah. All right. You will never see him on the podium again. Something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Is he still around, this industry insider?
What's your definition of that?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. I think it's safe to say sure.
Okay. Will I see him in Salt Lake City?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's someone you would know immediately, like if we told you. Steve can tell you in confidence. We can't blow it out on air.
But it's one of my favorite stories. Whenever you did well, I would point that out over and over, like in a group text.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. So good job, Jerron Stapleton. He told me he lived in a shack by, Milestone's been gone forever, at some track with no power for 3 months.
Wow.
The track had no power, or he had no power?
The building that he lived in had no power. He just lived in the dark.
Did the owner of this building know he was living in said building?
Yeah.
That's called squatting.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you the full story on group text, but he told me the whole thing. I was like, what? So, Bordon, 16. TJ Albright, 17.
Hold on. Let's not skip over Bordon so quick.
Okay.
He crashed. He did.
He's been impressive this year.
I agree.
Yeah, maybe one of the most impressive all season long, even from 250 West to 450 races. Like, he's legit.
Well,
he's
first
good.
Of all, JB, you've raced him for 100 years.
Well, he's always been 250 class in
was
Europe.
He?
Every
always?
Time
he
I've went to Paris 450s? Or Geneva, I don't. Maybe.
I
did he?
Yeah, he
I
raced big bikes. I think he did.
I don't know.
Okay, anyways.
But he's good.
Yeah.
He's a good rider.
And like, I don't want to say, like, on a Suzuki, but on a Suzuki.
Yeah.
No, it has to be said. Like, it's. Okay. Bike is behind.
And then can we get
in production and stock trim, that bike is behind the other bikes. It is, period.
And can we get like a drug test on Bose Flug last week, where that came from?
He was good. That's last
unbelievable.
Week.
It was the craziest thing ever. So
yes.
All right. Good job, Bordon, getting props from JB.
Is it Burden or Bordon? Weege.
Burden. It is Burden.
Can we not say Bordon?
Went and asked him in Anaheim 1, and it is Burden, like bourbon the drink.
That's tough to say, though, huh? Because it looks like Bourdain.
I will call him Bourdain.
Bourdain.
Really?
They call him...
Just in memory of Anthony Bourdain.
You have no reservations about that.
They call him Bourdon in Paris. Like the announcer, like the greatest announcer ever, the guy? The bald guy?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you trust him?
He told me...
He trusts his journalistic integrity?
He told me at the Motocross of the Nations 1 year, I am the best announcer in Europe.
Okay,
and I'm like, okay, cool, man.
You know how I know when people aren't the best at something is when they tell you they're the best at it.
He told me that, for real.
I believe you.
Watching him and Rocket Rob work together is always a treat at the Motocross of the Nations when it's in the
middle. Oh, God.
That's always a treat.
Oh God.
Preston Taylor, Carter Stevenson, Brad West, Australian kid. Max Miller crashed a bunch, too. So
three out of the four riders that made the 250 main event. That was the first main event ever. The NDLCQ. Three out of four. That was pretty cool.
West, Stevenson, and who?
Who got second?
I can tell you. I got the results here.
I don't have the results, so please tell me.
No, I said I can tell you. I got the results here.
Yeah, so
Sanford, Taylor, Stevenson, West.
Taylor. Yeah, Preston Taylor.
I feel like Preston's made some mains, no?
Three out of four.
Okay.
Wow.
Guess who did race the LCQ? Bracken Hall was back. 7 years.
Oh, I know. He's got to be like 30 years old.
He's like Lano out there. 7 years since he last raced. So I saw Bracken Hall's name and I said, is that his kid? Like,
I thought the same thing.
Yeah. So Bracken Hall came back. All right. JP, anything else?
Hey, I want to discuss one thing.
Okay.
Did you guys do a deep dive on Sexton's afternoon and night?
Oh, yeah.
We did.
Yep.
Okay, I figured. I mean, it's warranted.
So, here's where I was at.
Yes.
He's got to be a mental basket case. JB and JT are like, no, he's fine because the speed's back.
Yeah, this is what I said. I watched him in qualifying, and I'm like, wait a minute. This looks different. This looks like Honda Sexton. And then in the main, I'm like, there it is. There's Honda Sexton. Look at the speed. I mean, the track was hard to pass on, and he was blowing by dudes. And then he crashed.
Yep.
He crashed in the first turn. He crashed again after passing Webb. He almost crashed several times, and I'm like, oh, no. Is that also Honda Sexton?
Yeah.
Can we have both? Is it possible to have the speed without the front end tux, or is it like
can they be mutually exclusive? Right,
that's the question. Because he looked so fast, but also we're back to last year's style.
If you're Lars, are you leaning back and lighting a cigarette and being like, "How's that front end?"
I don't think. I remember Lars
because he was 1-1-2. Well,
yeah, I was gonna say if you're Lars, you don't even chase. Isn't even on your mind. You're lighting a cigar anyways because of the result.
But I'm saying like it was a Honda. Look at that thing. Yeah. It's throwing Chase to the ground. Like there was that narrative going around.
You sure? Yeah. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, he's back to that old speed. Oh, he lost the front. He almost crashed. Oh, now he did crash.
So after,
I'm like, wait, are these two things related?
So after Lars gets out of the hookers and coke from Saturday night, he looks back and looks at Chase and goes, oh yeah, you know? So...
I just think going that fast, you're flirting with the edge. You're the edge of traction, and especially on a track like that. We've said it multiple times. I think that track had a speed limit. The dirt only allowed you to go so fast,
but
Chase just found that limit.
But why is it always Chase?
I know. That's the tough part.
But he did go from down in the first turn to like seventh and like passing Webb. So like, that's what I'm saying. Like, can you have one without the other, or is it just this is what you get? If you want to be able to be fast enough to pass 14 dudes, you will eventually crash.
That's literally a multi-million-dollar question.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, this looks great. No, wait. Oh, wait. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but I was more like he's got to be a basket case, and JB and JT were like, nah, he's fine because the speed was there, which it was. So yeah.
Okay, what's better? Now, hypothetical question. Let's just say Tomac and Webb don't get hurt last year. Chase gets third in the championship, super fast, 14 out of 17 fastest qualifiers. Oh, my gosh, he wins a bunch of races, gets third in the championship.
Mm-hmm.
This year, super consistent, one win in the mud, and he gets third in the championship. What would you rather have?
Last year.
Of course, right?
Yeah.
So,
right.
Bring the speed back, Chase. Let's see it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah. We can work with speed.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, too.
As Weege would tell you, if it's the same result, which one paid you a lot more money? It was the one where you won a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Win bonuses are nice, I'm sure.
This may surprise Brayton and Weege here, but it was Lewis Phillips' birthday. Sean Brennan got him a cake. Brought it to the press box, announced that it was a birthday. JT did not have a piece of the cake. Did not touch the cake.
Wow.
I just want to let our listeners know. Not interested in a slice of cake. So
it's impressive. It's really, out of every person in the stadium, including the top athletes in the world, there might not be anyone more disciplined than JT.
Sad. Sad, but it's true.
I think Chet Lawrence would have had a slice of that cake, but not JT.
No. So
it's impressive.
Unbelievable, JT.
Buying cake for the media members now.
I know. Can you believe it?
And still, Steve still berates them. Like, he is complaining and just more requests the entire time.
Listen, I'm not complaining. Suggestions on improvement.
Yeah, okay.
I was in the press box.
He started the whole thing with, I don't want to complain, but.
Yeah. In Philadelphia.
Yeah, he did.
I'm sitting there talking to Steve, and here comes Sean with a handful of a bunch of Philly cheesesteaks for the press.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah, we got Philly cheesesteaks there. But that was requested by me in Birmingham, I think.
Okay.
I was like, we're going to Philly. We need cheesesteaks. Lewis is like, what's a cheesesteak? Lewis had no idea. We're like, we're going to get you a cheesesteak, you know? So,
you guys are treated well up there.
Listen,
Steve would wife and bang.
Listen, it's the days of Danny Hartwig with nothing.
Oh,
like literally nothing. At least we have coffee now. Yeah, we are treated nicely. It's great. And I want to let you assholes know that you guys are talking about me complaining. If it works out, it may not work out, but we're trying to make it work out. I am taking Sean and Joe to dinner this Friday night in Salt Lake City.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a GP event, Steve.
Yeah.
On Friday.
What the hell was that, JT?
That was a whole other thing. Steve is just losing his mind over the insider lingo abbreviations that Steve is not privy to.
Yeah.
He is not happy.
Yeah. They go, well, we don't know if we can make it. We got a GP meeting, and I'm just like, what the hell are you talking about? And I forget what it even stood for now. JT,
it's Global Partnership.
Oh, Global Partnership. Yeah. And I'm just like, hey, don't drop your fancy words on me. So, and then there was a GCI thing too, or something.
BSI.
BSI.
BSI drop.
Yeah, JT's using the word BSI. I got a BSI meeting.
And RF, we couldn't do the shoot because the RF wasn't available.
Yeah.
Steve is just going bonkers.
Like, I'm just the everyman. Can we just use normal language? So, anyways. Yeah. And
hey, man, some guys are part of the broadcast. Some guys are not.
Well, don't make me pull that thing out of my pocket that I put in there earlier.
I don't know what you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, you do. You both know. You both know. And
I don't know.
I literally have no idea what you're pulling out of your pocket.
So you don't know that what Feld asked me to do? You guys know.
Later in the year?
Yes.
Oh, is that a big deal?
Yes, it is. Yes,
oh,
it is.
Okay.
I do know what you're talking about. I didn't know it was a big deal, though.
Wow.
I mean, I'm here.
Looks like you two couldn't quite.
Oh, couldn't get it done?
Couldn't get it done.
Couldn't get it done?
Couldn't get it done. And who did they come to? So I'm going to park that because I need more time to talk about that down the road for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Wait for the press
release. Because I got to go to dinner anyway.
Right. So I'm going to park that. But also, Weege, this will not surprise you. The Verb guys did my race, and they helped me out and a good job. And then at some point, I get a text. Hey, bro, we got a suite. Come on down. We got beers and pizza and wings. And I go down.
Yeah, I saw these texts.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Were you on there? Oh.
Well, some of them were in the Chase Dallo chat, yes.
So I go down there, and there's beer and pizza and wings and a bunch of Verb guys, and they're having a good old time. And I'm like, how did you guys get this suite? And they wouldn't tell me. So what are the odds, Weege, they just broke into a suite?
Is it the same? It was probably the same suite they did the broadcast.
No.
You know, that was their
broadcast. No, it wasn't.
Oh, was it?
No,
that was in the press box marked Pulp MX. And then get this. They ripped down the Pulp MX sign and gave it to the wives and girlfriends as the family center.
Oh. Well, JB did a good job of reporting and showing us the Pulp MX booth.
Yeah.
Yes, I couldn't believe that.
Weege, do you think the Verb guys just picked the lock and walked into a suite?
But who provided the food and the beers? I don't understand this at all.
They paid for it.
These things are thousands of dollars.
No,
they have to assign someone to it in that scenario. So this was something else.
I know, but it's just Verb. It's such a Verb thing. So
yeah,
well, the amount you paid them to execute the event, they probably just bought a suite.
I would hope they didn't. I would think they didn't, but maybe.
They spent it all on wings.
But they they really wouldn't tell me. They really wouldn't tell me. And I'm like, okay, man, whatever. So, yeah.
It was a Red Bull thing because they were at F1. So maybe they didn't use their suite or something.
Yeah, who knows. All right. That's Denver. One more to go, JB, for you, Race Day Live. One more. Yep.
One more. Yep.
Yep. Any other final thoughts on Denver?
No, one final thought. Who we got for title? Jack. Kitchen or Hampshire?
I asked that.
I'm asking you.
You said Vial.
JT said Jet.
JC said Jet. So you guys are the assholes.
So it's up to you, Kitchen or Hampshire.
Okay,
who's going to win?
Let me ask you this. Who do you have for the 450 title?
Huh?
Who do you have for 450 title? We ask this every week on this pod.
What do you mean? Jet.
Same as it ever was.
Weege, who you got?
Weege has Anderson.
Oh, yeah, that's where you're going with it.
For the season, I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
I got Sexton.
Okay.
So.
Well, I got Jet.
You got Jet?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I picked Jet before. I still have Jet.
JT, did you pick Jet in the preseason videos?
100%.
Or was it after Anaheim 1 type deal?
No, I picked Jet every time. I think Jet's the best rider in the world, and I will pick him every race until I don't think that anymore.
If gambling was around, JT, you would have made so much. This is JT's move. He just picks Ryan Dungey, and now he just picks Jet Lawrence forever.
Yeah.
He has to pick the best Ryan.
Yeah, he does, yeah. And Weege and I try to, like, space brain it and come up with this stuff. Nope. And
yeah, like, you guys are way overthinking it. Who's the best guy? Yeah, pick him.
But I did pick Sexton last year. I did get Sexton right last year. Took an Achilles tendon.
I was, like, 5 for 5 for a while.
Yeah. It took
year after year, season after season, JT's like, I'm going with Ryan Dungey.
Yeah,
solid.
I told back last year, and it took a blown Achilles at the second to last round to derail me.
So, whoever said, can you ask me after the start for Kitchen? Okay,
that was Weege. Yeah,
I think
first lap, I'll let you know who I'm thinking looking good.
It's gonna be fucking bonkers, man. And then you got Deegs, and you got Deegs. Deegs is out for blood or whatever. So
he's not.
I mean, there might be some you can't put shenanigans past Deegs.
No, you already lost that. You said there was going to be.
I did.
You said there were going to be shenanigans, and it's already proven.
Yeah, he shut that down in Philly. Yeah.
Okay, so we're just riding. Like
I think he's going to try to win the race.
No, of course, but
yeah, no, he's not going after Vial.
Right,
he's just going
to try. We're just going to win the race and try to.
You could also enter that into tomorrow's discussion about your 250 class as well.
What?
Deegs mention in the press conference last week that if he won the title,
yes,
it would make him move to the 450 class, and he'd be really young.
Yep.
Yes. So he would love to win the title, mm-hmm. but at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll touch on that. Okay, so I'll go Kitchen just because of the starts. Now, they weren't there this weekend. They weren't bad. He's fourth or whatever. Better than RJ, though. So I will go Kitchen because of the start, and we've seen Kitch get a ton of hole shots. So I'll go Kitchen.
I watched RJ off the start the whole time. His hole shot device popped up like right after the gate. He didn't have
a shot. Okay, so you said that, and that was brilliant. And what the fuck are you noticing that?
What?
You're just because you were just cued in on RJ so tightly?
Yeah.
But I feel like I cue in on Jet sometimes, or I'm just watching Jet.
Yeah.
Just to see how. And
you're not very good at this, Steve.
There's a reason why us three are part of the TV.
Oh, okay. Oh, here we go. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Okay. I'm trying to give you some props here, but I just got insulted.
Okay. So, what, like I couldn't see it? Or you're saying it wasn't that hard to see?
I don't know. I would, from the press box. Well, wait. Were you watching on a video?
No.
You're in,
no. I was turned around watching it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if
I'd be able to go to dinner. I'm going to pick RJ. You guys sort this out. I'm picking RJ. Florida guy.
Fly guy.
Dade City.
Fly.
Yep.
Fly, RJ, Dade.
I'm not saying that. Dade City, Florida.
Okay.
Born RJ.
All right.
All right.
See you later, JT.
Have fun, JT.
All right. All right. So I'll go Kitch because of that start.
Okay.
But really, flip a coin?
I think flip a coin. I said it on Race to Live. It's been a tale of two seasons for both of them. RJ starts strong. Then in Seattle, Kitchen's like unbelievable.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I think that... Like, his trajectory went crazy after that, even for the rest of his career. Then St. Louis, the very next weekend, he leads every lap of all three Triple Crown races.
Okay.
But now, hard pack track, then RJ comes to Nashville, dominated the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
The stagger restart, he comes from, like, sixth to first in the heat race and wins the main. So, like, is it dirt dependent? I don't know. Like, it's a total... Dude, flip of a coin to me.
It's a showdown. It's a showdown.
It's going to be amazing. But, Weej, you're right. I mean, it's literally going to be the first 200 feet of the race.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, Vegas 2017, the first 200 of the race, Jordan Smith had it.
And then
Zacco destroyed Savacci.
Yeah. And RJ has a little Zacco in him, like just the never give up, never die. Even this weekend, like you could tell. He was like when you go to the dog races where the rabbit's like just in front of him.
Yeah.
That's what RJ looked like. He was so – he couldn't quite get there, but he wanted to get there, and then he was almost there, and then
Weej, if RJ pulls an Osborne on Savacci, I need a camera on Bruce Sternstrom.
Oh, if it's a Cali guy again.
Yeah.
Oh, skull and crossbones flat.
Yes.
Anything goes?
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, RJ said in the press conference, he said he talked to his team and said, I feel like God is testing me. 99% of the time when I have a situation where I have to decide to go for it or not, I go for it, and it doesn't usually work out. So tonight I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, if I was 2/10 closer, it would have got really exciting.
All right. So, yeah. Well, I said Kitchen, so can we get...
I would lean that way as well.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
I'll just pick RJ. I feel like I'm just going to go with it's his time. Kitchen's on the rise.
Yep.
And this is probably almost ahead of schedule for him to be this good. It's really only his second full year in Supercross. RJ's been at this a while.
Oh, he's been at this a while? Yeah.
He's just a little bit.
He's got a baby.
Add him to your rant tomorrow, too.
He's in the 250 class, and he has a baby.
I mean, if we're going, like, who do you absolutely want or, like, pick from the heart, it'd be great for RJ because I think Kitchen's going to have – he's going to be a multi-time champion at some point.
Yeah, they're both really good guys.
They're great guys,
At some point, RJ told me a few weeks ago, man, if I didn't like Levi, it'd be so much better. I'd just blow him out of the current. You know, I like Levi. He's awesome. He's a good kid, you know? So, yeah. All right. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, 9:30 a.m. I'll be there. Let's hit some trails.
We just flying in for the Pulp Show.
Great.
Well, I just want our listeners to know that one wouldn't do it without the other. They're like the Beatles. They have to be together.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It's like a battery. We need a plus and a minus.
Yeah.
What are you doing tomorrow night, Steve? You going to stick around or are you going to go to dinner?
I'll probably just leave you guys at it. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
We're good. Don't you think, Weej?
somebody, I can't remember who this was. I'm not even joking. I went to the, I went riding on Wednesday night at Top Gun MX in Denver, North Carolina. And a guy comes up to me. I guess, Steve, you've been teasing this. A guy comes up. He's like, hey, I heard Steve's just going to walk away for an hour.
Yeah, I did. I think I did say that. Yeah, yeah, I did say that. I thought that would be funny.
Random fan at the track.
Yeah, I was like, I was like, sweet. I got some time off. I'll just go downstairs. I said, I think I said I'll go make sweet love to Pookie. There you go. Know, and then
Dory.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And then you and like I have my relaxed time and my chill time, and you guys can carry the show.
Cool.
So.
All right, beautiful.
Yeah,
we got it.
You guys can do that.
Think we'll be just fine.
Pookie's the real winner here.
Yeah, really? Yeah, yeah, exactly. all right, everybody. The Fly Racing, Renthal, Maxxis, motorsport.com, OnX Maps as well. That's the Denver recap. Thanks, JB.
That was fun. Thank you.
Great stuff. Weech, thanks, buddy.
See you tomorrow.
See ya.
Yep.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change the air. Don't change the air.